We're talking about buildings and stories in this hour, and so we have to talk with Chris Ware. He's a celebrated cartoonist, and one of his most beautiful projects is a graphic novel called Building Stories. Steve Paulson says it's like nothing he's ever seen or read before.
I'm speaking with Chris Ware, who's, this is your most recent project, right? Building Stories, that at least that has been published?
I guess if taking 11 years to do something is considered a recent project, yes.
All right. Chris, for the uninitiated, how would you describe Building Stories?
It's a box of 14 disparate books, pamphlets, newspapers, brochures, etc., which isn't exactly accurate, but it's essentially a box of 14 different books that add up to tell a story. And there's no specific way to do it. There's no beginning or end. And that was really the point of the book, was to try to create a book that didn't have a beginning or an end. And it tells the story of a girl who goes to art school and ends up living alone and wondering if she's ever going to have a family. And then she does end up having a family and a child later in her life. So,
well, I think you actually answered one of my first questions, whether this actually is a book, because mm-hmm. it's one of the most amazing literary objects I've ever seen. I mean, it's this collection of 14 different things, you know, every conceivable size and format, telling different versions of the same story. Do you call this a book?
Sure, I guess you could. I mean, a book is made up of what are called signatures anyway, which are just simply miniature books that are sewn together. So it's an attempt to try to maybe use the form of the book in a way that maybe is a little bit closer to the way our memories actually work, as opposed to a book, which is sort of a kind of a masculine object for you. There's a beginning and then a middle and an end, and you're sort of, you know, led through it, which is the way we like to imagine mm-hmm. life happening, which is, I guess, essentially arguably the way it does happen, but it's not the way we remember it.
Well, I mean, I want to follow up on that. I mean, because this is really ingenious, because you have these 14 different pieces of mm-hmm. your book, each of which tells a different part of the story. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, as a reader, you know, I'm sort of wondering, where do I start? You know, mm-hmm. which one of these booklets or pamphlets or oversized books do I start reading? Because each one tells a different narrative thread. I mean, they're all ultimately connected, but I guess that's partly the point. I mean, you can sort of start in the middle of the story, and then as you read more, you learn more about the history. As you read more, you learn more about what happens later. Mm-hmm. There's sort of no clear beginning, middle, or end.
Well, I mean, that's the way we live our lives, though, too. We always start in the middle, except, I mean, obviously we're born and we live and we die, but when we meet people, you always are starting in the middle somewhere. And when you get to know somebody, the first thing you notice is what they look like, what they wear, how they carry themselves, what they say. Then they might tell you an anecdote about something that had just happened to them, and then maybe they'll tell you something about their childhood. So you're putting together an image of what they are, and we do the same things about ourselves, too. We go through our memories and re-edit and change whatever we want, in a lot of cases, to suit whatever vision we have of ourselves. So
memory is fallible.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's not news, necessarily. Right. You know, I think that's pretty well everybody figured that one out a while ago. But it's an attempt to try to bring that into the idea of what storytelling is.
And one of the things that I like so much about this book, Building Stories, is you're playing on at least two meanings of this phrase, building mm-hmm. stories. I mean, so as you've been saying, you're talking about creating a narrative of mm-hmm. some sort, a story. I mean, you're telling people's lives. There's also the physical artifact that mm-hmm. you have created, which is, I mean, for one thing, you are rendering an apartment building, a three-story apartment building. So there is literally a building in there. And mm-hmm. then there is the sense that your comic as well is kind of architecture in itself. It's almost a building in itself. And mm-hmm. it's sort of like the metaphor of architecture just sort of runs all through this project.
Right. I mean, the metaphor of architecture runs through our brains, I think. I think there's a reason why we build buildings with right angles, other than just simply that it's the easiest way to put something together. That's the way our brains are organized. They're organized in an XYZ axis. And I think anybody can close their eyes if they lived in a house for maybe more than a year or two as a kid and see that entire house and find things, open drawers, et cetera. There's something about the way the mind and the way buildings are structured that are analogous. And I think there's a reason why we create these environments in which to live out our lives. So
it sounds like you're saying that a comic can deal with memory. I mean, the way, you know, all of us sort of construct our thoughts about our lives, perhaps more effectively than a novel can.
Well, I don't know about that, but I mean, certainly, to me, comics are an art of memory. There's no two ways about it, really. And when you really come right down to it, that's all we have anyway. All we have are our memories. We may, you know, we have clothes and cars and houses and stuff, but not really. I mean, all we really have is what's in our minds, everything that's behind us. And for better or for worse, those memories, how we put them together and create stories about other people and ourselves, are still fundamentally flawed, certainly about other people and frequently about ourselves. So we're really fundamentally operating from fiction in a lot of ways, and that's what the core of fiction is. I think that's one of the joys of reading fiction, too, is understanding how other stories are put together, how other people understand them. I mean, fundamentally, that's what language is. It's just a way of saying, are you seeing the same thing that I'm seeing? Are you feeling that same awful feeling inside you that I'm feeling? And putting it into some way of understanding, so for other people.
Do you think one of the things that strikes me about the way you've put together this story is it's basically told through episodes in a life, in several lives. Do you think that's how we think about our lives? Is it sort of a series of episodes?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, I don't wake up every morning and think, okay, I was born in December 1967, my first memory. You know, I don't go through all. If I do, it's definitely hidden under some other stuff going on. Usually I'll just wake up and I'll think, like, what I have to do today. And then the sense of dread and panic seizes me. And then I'll think about something stupid I'd said the day before that I really regret and think, oh, maybe I should write an apology to that person. And then I'll think, oh, what time it is, you know, and it's very episodic. It's very fragmented. So, I mean, on one hand, it's nice that novels and stories can give us this sort of ordered sense of things in a way, you know, maybe that's what we really crave. I don't know. So.
Well, and that's, of course, what you get in a lot of, especially popular fiction, is it is a sense of order, which, and the story ends well.
Mm-hmm. I suppose it's true, yeah. But we all know how the story ends, so.
Your stories tend not to end so well.
Well, I mean, it's, you know, there's only one outcome, so, and it's, we're heading towards it, so.
Well, I have to ask you about that, in fact, because when people talk about your books, when critics review your books, I mean, they always rave about what you do. And I mean, it's just sort of what goes into this, the design, the creativity, the artistry is just, it's off the charts. If there is one criticism, it's, why is Chris Ware so bleak? I mean,
is it really bleak? I don't know.
His characters seem to live these miserable, hopeless lives, one failure after another. Do you see it that way? Is that a misreading of your stories?
I guess I could see that, but I mean, it seems to me like it's pretty lightweight. It's a story just about a girl and, you know, wondering if she's going to be happy or not. That seems like a pretty low threshold of misery. There's a lot worse things in the world, you know? It's not like she sees her parents murdered or, you know, there are moments of trauma in everybody's life, and as you get older they accrue. That's simply the truth of life. If it doesn't happen to you, you are extraordinarily lucky. And if fiction tells you that message, that life really isn't that bad after all, or that it's unfair, because it's not true. And I think I'm being fairly even-handed about it. At the same time, I try to produce, with both the images and the objects themselves, something that I hope is beautiful that then contradicts that somewhat. Because fundamentally, life is all we've got, and along with our memories, and it's worth living.
Well, Chris, this has been a great pleasure. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much. I'm very honored to be on your show. I listen to it regularly, and I'm very, very flattered to have been asked.
Chris Ware's graphic novel is called Building Stories. Steve Paulson talked with him.